It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health publishes its annual briefing on the well-being of kids in our state, and we explore takeaways from the report on levels of anxiety, depression, self-harm, other issues as well. Call in with a question. You can share comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Linda Hall is director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Linda, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good to be with you.
So when you look at this year's report and, you know, looking at insights from previous years, which behavioral trends are improving on the upswing among Wisconsin youth in this report?
So the improvement that we saw this year is that the number of low-income youth decreased. And we know that the financial stress on families is an important factor for kids' mental well-being. We think that that decrease occurred because of the pandemic child tax credits. So that number could change again in our next report. Drinking declined among teens. More students are sleeping 8 hours a night, which is really important for well-being. And the investments that the governor and the legislature have made in school social workers, psychologists, and school counselors has led to an increase in those positions at schools in our state, which is really important because the majority of kids who actually get some response to their mental health symptoms have that happen at school. So having people who are able to talk with our youth about their feelings and about their mental health is really important.
It seems,
unfortunately, those numbers are just not, they're not at the recommended rates, but we're pleased to see there has been an increase.
When you talk about schools, that seems to be a theme in this report. What role do schools have in improving children's mental health and the ripple effects of a supportive atmosphere in schools?
Yeah, it's just really fundamental. You know, one of the factors that we look at very carefully is, do children feel like they belong? And one of the most important places for most kids is their school. So a welcoming climate at school is just critical for kids in all kinds of ways. And what we really need right now is for our educators to be able to address the traumas and the mental health issues that kids bring to school with them. That's as important, really, as catching up on academics that lagged a little during the pandemic. Because if kids don't feel well, if they're not awake, they can't learn. And so we know that this climate belonging makes a difference on whether kids show up and then whether they succeed academically.
Okay, so those are some positive movements there. Which behavioral trends among Wisconsin youth are the most concerning as you look at this report?
Well, you know, obviously we're concerned that that our kids continue to be anxious. They feel sad and hopeless every day. And many are considering suicide or, you know, thinking about suicide. We also are seeing a drop in the number of youth participating in extracurricular activities, and which we watch as an indicator also of their feeling of belonging. That participation in extracurricular activities, whether it's sports or theater or music, those are all important for kids, their mental well-being. And so seeing some decline in those numbers is concerning. We're also seeing that vaping has doubled among teens. And we know that that's really a problem for the long term, for their health for the long term. And there are concerns about what are in those vaping materials. So, and then when we look at our LGBTQ youth, almost half of them have considered suicide. Mm. And so that, again, is a question of, do they feel valued? Do they feel like they belong?
We're discussing youth mental health in Wisconsin, a new report with Linda Hall, who leads the Office of Children's Mental Health. And you can join in questions and comments at any point, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Why are only half of children with a diagnosed mental health condition receiving treatment? What is the disconnect there?
Problem that we do not have enough mental health professionals to meet the demand for that service. And we know that our younger generations are talking about mental health. They are more open to treatment than previous ones. So that feeds into the demand. But, you know, this problem of a shortage of mental health professionals is not one that we are going to solve quickly. And kids are growing up now, and we need to pay attention now and find ways to reach them now, which is why our office is really actively engaged with the Coalition on Expanding School-Based Mental Health and the Department of Public Instruction to support mental health navigators and therapists at schools to help get to kids, provide some support for them earlier on so that they don't develop more serious long-term mental illness.
The 1 in 10 teens attempting suicide in 2021, that is alarming. What can Wisconsin systems do to intervene and to change that trajectory?
Well, you know, all these factors about addressing mental wellness and having kids get support, have people they can talk to, know where to go for help. That makes a difference. The belonging makes a difference. We are also going to be training some teens in a newer approach to suicide prevention, which is commonly known as alternatives to suicide. And that's a newer approach to talk, have a different conversation with kids than has been done in the past. Previously, the focus has been find out if this person is thinking about suicide and then get them to a mental health professional. This approach is more like talk with the person, and you know, maybe it's your friend at school, and find out what's the issue that's really making them think about suicide, and do some problem solving with them on whether you can fix that situation or moderate that feeling so that kids don't move to suicide. We have to say, you know, if the data also show that girls are more likely to self-harm, whether that's cutting or poison or other harming strategies. Boys are more likely to use a gun. And so the outcome of attempted suicide with a gun is more likely to be fatal. So all the issues around keeping guns locked and properly stored are really important for a suicide.
When you look at these new interventions and being student-led, school-based, you know, peers talking with their peers, you're also seeing, a lot of these peer-led wellness programs in districts and in schools around the state. What momentum is happening there?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, we have been studying what are the things that make a difference in kids' well-being, we really started a focus on social connectedness of youth. And as we did that, we looked around to see what's happening in the state. And we have categorized, we found that over 300 programs of youth-led mental health programs in their schools. And that's so exciting to us because we know that it's not only the information that kids will get from that, the support they will get from that, the effect it will have on their climate, their school climate. It also is providing leadership skills for them. And just the fact of working, you know, having voice and being heard, developing leadership skills are also very important factors for well-being. And they develop, youth develop skills that make them feel better and help them as even as they move into adulthood. Those kind of things have a lasting effect on kids. So we're really excited about that, and we've decided that we are going to invest heavily in Youth Voice in the spring, throughout this year, throughout 2024. And we are beginning to bring together some of the leaders from those student organizations to convene, to learn from each other, to learn, get more information, and to give them an opportunity to raise their voice on what's important to mental health and how, and their perspectives, their solutions for the youth mental health crisis that we're currently in.
Linda Hall is director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health as we examine this new report and what is affecting young Wisconsinites. And you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your perspective at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new state report examines the extent of mental health challenges among Wisconsin youth and what factors impact well-being. Linda Hall directs the State Office of Children's Mental Health, which is out with its annual report called Connections Are the Destination. And you can call in with a question. You can share your perspective at any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Judy in Fitchburg. Judy, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. I am one of the founding members of Horizon High School and am on the board. Horizon High School is the only recovery high school for students in Wisconsin. Most of our, or many of our students have, want to be free of addiction and have co-occurring mental health disorders. We do have a full-time therapist on staff. Most of our students come from surrounding school districts and are referred to our school by the school districts. We're a nonprofit. The school districts pay a portion of the costs of the students, and we raise the rest of the money. In the past legislative session, a bill was passed to fund recovery schools and fund the development of them around the state, giving grant money for communities who want to provide this service for their children to start planning to have these schools.
And Judy, of course, I would imagine you support this grant funding, which is about $500,000, I believe. We talked recently about Horizon High School. I want to toss this over to Linda Hall. What do you see in recovery high schools?
Well, I just want to say that I was very pleased to be able to learn a little bit more about Horizon High School and talk to some of the students who had wonderful things to say about the program there. It was very impressive that they were, the students I talked to felt so welcomed, and they felt that that was a really important piece of what was going on for them, that they were heard and that they were not judged, and that was really supporting their recovery. Obviously, young people, like adults, often use drugs and other medications to self-medicate when they can't get their mental health issues addressed. So more opportunities for kids to take advantage of this kind of support is just really important.
Judy, thank you for that call. Turning to childcare, the report lists several stressors affecting Wisconsin families, one being the childcare crisis. How do constraints on childcare affect a child's mental health?
Well, we know that, you know, the early in the early childhood is the most important part of when our brains grow, right? That's when brain development mostly happens. It's also in childcare that we are teaching kids how to communicate, how to resolve conflicts with friends, how to, you know, address things that are a problem for them. And so we really need our childcare educators to be informed about brain development, to be informed about mental health and behaviors, and how behaviors are often a way for a child to tell us how they're feeling, what's going on with them. So we want our educators to have not only the information about that, but the space and the time to deal with it. And unfortunately, we have a situation where our child care educators are not paid enough to stay in the field for very long and develop these kinds of experiences with kids. So, when kids can't get, you know, when parents can't get their kids into a child care center, it affects their ability to work. And as I mentioned previously, you know, when families are financially stressed, kids are more likely to have mental health issues. In fact, you know, food insecurity is one of the things to watch for in terms of whether a child is doing well or not. You know, I think one thing we learned during the pandemic is that we all have to invest in our mental health, right? We all had to figure out how we were going to be healthy when we were at home under really different circumstances. This is true for kids. You know, we focus on connections because we know that it's connections that make the brain work well. And it's investing in those connections, investing in physical well-being, you know, getting the proper sleep, eating good food. All of those things make a difference in terms of mental wellness. And we want to build a strong foundation for kids, and we want to start that in the early years. And unfortunately, we have too many parts of the state that are a childcare desert, especially in rural areas.
Talking with Linda Hall, who leads the Office of Children's Mental Health, new report on the status of youth mental health in Wisconsin. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Turning to housing, last fall, our show discussed the rise of doubled up homelessness among Wisconsin youth, meaning students may be living with other families. And I want to just hear from Christine Nadelsky now, a coordinator for the state's Education for Homeless Children and Youth program, talking about this issue.
It really is kind of that hidden homelessness that we don't think about. A lot of times people just think homelessness is an individual on the street or maybe folks living in their car. But really, these doubled up situations are very unstable.
So how is the Office of Children's Mental Health working to strengthen housing stability for youth?
Well, you know, Kate, we take a really collective impact approach to how we work on these issues related to children's mental health. And part of that means that we convene stakeholders from a broad range of agencies and systems to keep them informed about the connections to children's mental health and to scheme with them to improve the whole system. And housing is very important. When kids have stable housing, they have better mental health. They have better physical health. They attend school more, you know, more regularly, and they perform better academically. So it's one of the many systems issues that we are always in conversation with about and looking for ways to build a stronger foundation for our kids.
And this look back at 2023 coincided with Governor Evers declaring last year as the year of mental health, which gave your office a unique opportunity to address the mental health focus of children. Do you consider 2023 a successful year for youth mental health?
I do, in terms of that the fact that more people are engaged on this issue, more people are talking about it. We are able to make some new investments in children's mental health. Obviously, the demand and the crisis is still very large in mm-hmm. Wisconsin and throughout the nation. So we're going to continue in 2024 to consider this a top priority because it's just so critical for our future.
In our few moments we have left together, students say they have fewer trusted adults in their lives. And I just want to land on that because this is so important. What might that indicate?
Well, I think it indicates that you know, when they go to school, perhaps the teachers and the staff there don't have as much time to, you know, stop and listen to them. I think that all of our interactions with people changed a little bit during the pandemic. We're hearing that adults who work with kids are also having to help kids learn how to be in person with other kids and with themselves, and how to put down their phones. We know that overuse of social media and digital equipment is not helpful.
Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Linda Hall, Director of the State Office of Children's Mental Health. If you or someone you know is dealing with thoughts of suicide, call or text 988. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.